This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I am with Diane Wilbon Parks. She's our guest poet. She has been a United States Air Force veteran. She's a program for IT, program manager, a world-acclaimed artist. She was an engineer for the Pentagon, and she is a poet. So here is a poem from this career woman who never stops.
Oh, Grace, thank you so much. I am honored to be here. Thank you. My first poem that I'll open with is entitled Grateful. And this poem is about just the honor of everything. God knows I am grateful for each tiny prayer circling my throat, pushing its way out, shepherding the wild horses that gallop and graze inside my dreams. For every deep breath that I take, a candle of hope is lit inside. So I keep going, even when the birds are silent in November. Like squirrels, I bury their songs for the winter. And now I rise like the birds of June singing. I am grateful for the rise of the sun, the aging of these bones that gather enough grace to get up, to get going, to get on with seed time and harvest. These God hours, I plant, I plow, I pray, I pen, I paint, I pour, I pluck, I pause. I praise the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the years, to just be able to smell the morning, to taste the chilled air, to touch autumn's footprint, to see Moses' staff in a tree as a red sea of leaves part from their branches and walk down the tree as obedient as the wind ushers them out, they come. I walk through the red sea of leaves to the other side. I think of how leaves folly a life beyond their branches. My heart is pulled at his stem. God knows I'm grateful to witness this kind of beauty rare, deep in the tissue, where a million hearts beat, spinning the earth in me. The sound of my granddaughter's voice repairs the broken wings, the torn pages, the orphaned shadows that follow. I no longer feel the fractures. Her laughter reaches in and paints the inside of me in shades of golden golds, fluorescent oranges, bruised reds. When she holds my hand, I see a blue sky over the field of my dreams with an endless silver lining. I have allowed her to disturb the silence, the whispering, the bed of leaves that quiets the landscape here. She is my candle of hope. For every deep breath I take, she returns with the sun, with love and peace and joy and hope and gratitude. God knows I am grateful.
What a way to start a program. What a way to start a program. My heart is pulled at its stem.
Yes.
Diane Wilbon Parks, even when the birds are silent. So many images there, I couldn't even keep track of them. I told you at the beginning that she is a high-powered manager of IT, and I don't even understand it myself, and she manages it. She is actually a world-famous visual artist, and I think we have pictures of on books by her. We have websites with her work. She was an Air Force veteran. She was an engineer. And now she is a poet. Diane, what does poetry add to this life, to a career? What is the artistic side of you? What is the poet in you?
Well, the poet in me really is where it all begins, Grace. You know, I was a writer before I was all of those things.
Oh.
Before I was a wife, before I was an artist, I knew I was a writer at the age of 11. And I believe when I went overseas, I was in my early 20s, and that's when I really started writing poetry. So when I think about poetry, it is me. It is everything in me. I don't know what I would do without it, Grace. Well, I honestly don't know.
Well, would that take priority over your painting?
It does.
That's
where I started.
Because your painting is what you're known for nationally.
Yeah.
So that's where it started, with language.
Yes.
Well, give us another poem, because you have started us off on the wings.
Well, I'll tell you, this poem is entitled Your Face. And this is an ekphrastic poem, and it is about the Blue City. I was looking at the Blue City in Morocco. Chifswan, I believe that's the pronunciation. But I was mesmerized by the blue doors. I love the color blue.
Oh, tell them what ekphrastic means.
It's just, it's a reflective work of writing that you're looking at a piece of artwork or some object, and you're, at least I personify. And I write a poem about that which I'm looking at, that particular object.
Do you do that a lot?
I do that a lot in my work.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do. And so this one is entitled Your Face. I was looking at a blue door, and then I kind of personified it to a person, people.
Let's hear it.
Yes. Your face at times is a beautiful door, stern and unwilling. I imagine your lines are the markings of your living that separates each lover's war. Your lips, an altar of whispered flames. There is great distance between the eyes of your past and the eyes of now. The gold that ambers through your iris whispers guilt and shame and dance like birds do. Just underneath the moon of your cheeks, a consecrated land still grows. Above the seam of your cheek, a bone rises in deformity. Fruit peels. The soil recalls the year of the trespassers, the ones who wandered in by mistake. Your face, once a beautiful door, now blurred with an antithesis of lines, no longer distinguishable, only the altar that confesses your soul.
And where was that painting?
Well, actually, it's a door, the blue doors in the city of Morocco. I was looking, it's a blue city. And that I just looked at all these beautiful blue doors, and that poem arrived out of me looking at those doors.
Where you get your inspiration. But I've heard many of your poems and I've read your books, and I wonder if you think you have a theme, a recurring theme. It is said that we write the same thing over and over, that we each have one story. If you do think that, what is your story?
I think my story is through reflection. You know, what I see, what the past brings up, the struggle, the loss. Grief has been recently a part of my writing because, you know, Grace, that I lost my mother in 2018. So a lot of what I write about even now has a lot to do with struggle, hope, truth.
Yes. Hope.
Sacrifice.
Hope. Hope is underneath every single line you write.
Yes.
And that is what keeps you floating. Well, she's from the star planet. Don't try to compete with her. She came from another galaxy. And just to prove it, here's another poem. She is Diane Wilbon Parks.
Thank you so much, Grace. This poem is about COVID. You remember when everything occurred during COVID, when it first happened? I remember the desperation of it all. And this is a somewhat of a love poem. So it is entitled, What Once Was. I long for the edge of wire to hold on to. It gives me a place to dangle inside the beauty of a scream that trumpets hopeless desperation. It calls you to me, a song that shakes into rain, into thunderstorms that isolation stirs. I want to look inside your velvet shoulders and fall to earth over and over inside your gentleness. I miss your hand, the touch of your flesh, the smell of your unwashed breath. I miss your laughter unmasked. I love what once was, the sharing of your drink from my lips. I was able to taste your anticipation. I was able to speak nonsense over tea bags and watch your naked smile.
I love what once was. I think that is one of your themes.
Yes.
One of your themes is what has, so that you will not have lost something, you make it permanent in poetry to save against loss. That is a big thing I'm hearing over and again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have been this career woman and you have then taken poetry seriously, but and published 2 books.
Yes.
When did you actually say, I declare yourself and say, I'm a writer, I'm a poet, to declare yourself and make that commitment and then publish a book? When was that seriousness?
Well, it actually happened in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It was critical for me to not just keep what I believe is a gift from God to myself. So I think it was necessary for what was coming up, and there would be more. And I felt libraries on the inside of me.
So, only you, I believe it.
Yes.
I know they're there. Only yes. You could have libraries inside of you.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I was tapping into what, you know, as a free verse poet, there's a lot of, it's almost like a waterfall of thoughts that come in. And I wanted to capture those. So I think the reality of being a poet came in around 2005, although I've been writing for quite some time. But the seriousness of it all.
Yeah, the waterfall makes sense to me. The waterfall, because that's a really good way to describe the flow of your lines, because mm-hmm. you really are a piece of silk. You just tumble from your juxtaposition. It never clunks. You one line never clunks into the other. So that is like a waterfall. So you can't take any credit for this, right? Because it just comes right from the universe.
I believe so. I do. I mean, look at Grace, really. When you
Where
think
else
about,
could it come from? I mean,
yeah.
Do you think a brain could do this? Just a brain that executes and orchestrates what we think? It doesn't create imagination. Well, let's hear more of your imagination. And this is Diane Wilbon Parks. I love her so much.
So,
talk
Grace,
Diane.
Okay, Grace. This poem that I'm going to read to you is about sacrifice and love. And giving so much of yourself like you do. You know about that, Grace. You do.
All mothers do.
And this is also about surrender. And the bird in this poem represents an unbothered life, a free life. So the title of this poem is, I am the only one who carries the umbrellas. Today, I surrender. Tomorrow will be a truce. I wait for days in when blue skies switch to black. I surrender the purple swirls, the opulence a country swears it brings. I come with nothing. I take nothing. Today, I am from nowhere. Mm. I own only one thought, to burlesque a bird. To take the feed of robins to fill a future, to use their beady eyes to watch, to unclaw a prey, perch a bench, flap a wind, unswallow worries, keep the sky, take deep breaths, and when the air consents, follow a wing until it fades to blue. Tomorrow, my head will have had time to unravel long enough to release a bird song, to empty the unbalanced and the lakes that puddle here. My buckets are full. My swallow is full. Mm. I am the only one who carries the umbrellas, who holds the country at her breasts. Oh. The cities will sleep sound tonight. I will wave the white flag, even before a truce, before the bird calls, before my cup overflows again.
Diane, I apologize for the gasp. It happened in spite of me. I'm not kidding, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing, really. I come with nothing. I take nothing. This is the surrender that people look for their whole lives. And maybe poetry is the door that you enter to get there.
Yes.
The surrender, yes. The complete surrender. You know, no one's telling you, you don't have to have a report done at the end of the week. You don't even have to put a frame on a picture. This poetry asks nothing but your surrender.
And this is where...
It is. And oh my, I needed this so much today. You know, you can't have more going out than is coming in.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
I need you to come into me. I needed that so much today. You are an activist and do humanitarian work on your free time.
Yes.
I say that sardonically. What is the Woodlawn Project?
So, you know, Dr. Hiram LaRue. So Hiram had a writer's residency at Woodlawn and invited four other poets to come with. And one of the poets couldn't come because it's very hard to face the past.
What is Woodlawn?
Woodlawn is a plantation.
Mm.
And it is in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia. And on August 2nd, it was a Friday in 2019, Hiram invited us to do some interpretative work. And the three of us, along with Hiram, that makes four poets, we went into Woodlawn, stayed for a whole afternoon, and did some interpretive writing about what we felt as we approached Woodlawn, the Woodlawn Estate. So I think it's a powerful work that we have been doing with reckoning America's past and its history. So I think it's very important for us to be able to share this kind of work. And there are many groups, I believe, and people who are starting to do this work as well.
Are all those poems collected?
They're not collected
yet.
But
you have given performances.
Yes, we're everywhere. And as a matter of fact, we will be working with CAPA very soon. And CAPA is the Coalition for African Americans in Performing Arts, and is directed by Terry Allen. And so we will be working with her at the CAPA facility on March 9th, and we'll be doing a performance, a reading there.
Let's hear another poem. Diane Wilbin Parks.
Okay, so this poem, Grace, is really an acknowledgement to my parents, and they have passed on, but their love and their light, oh my goodness, I certainly miss it. So the title of this poem is Holding Space. The sons and daughters who save us is a place of music. I was once a daughter. I came with a matchless mother and an anguished father. They loved me. I have lost their scent, the peace that I gathered from their arms. Death separates us. The roasted ache of pain lives inside the gardens of my chest, where I laid them down with moon and worry. Lavender and thyme leaven the bruises touching the night's flesh. And for a moment, I smell Georgia from the back door of my chest, stacked with melons where seeds sprout from a veil of my mother's green thumbs. I have been holding space on a vine of deep breath. It's so dark here. I need their light.
That's Diane Wilbin Parks. I was once a daughter. I smell Georgia. I smell Georgia. Do you think that's where the love came from? I mean, do you think that people can feel what you feel without having that given to them?
I think that people can, it may not be organic. I think that all of our experiences bring us to a place. And the experience of the love that I received from my parents, the teachings, my mother was everything to me, Grace, everything. My father, he just knew things. He was an engineer as well. And my father knew, he was a visionary. And so he could see things before, you know, in the future. Oh. So I think when you have parents who lay a concrete, solid foundation, mm-hmm. it's very hard when they leave to continue to be this beautiful, bright light, because some of that is dim by their leaving, their passing on.
None of that is dim. None of that is dim.
Wow.
You have it in the poem. Besides, I think you're talking about essence, and that never went anywhere.
Yeah.
That never went anywhere. I was writing a haiku for David Keplinger this morning, and it was a rose that had died, the outer leaves, and I saw how the inside was still pink. And that, to me, was so significant. It's like your parents have died, but the inside is still pink.
Yes.
You know, you still have that.
Yeah.
You'll have their light. What a lucky child. What a lucky child.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that we can all find love, but I don't know many people that really say they come with that completely.
Yeah.
I don't know many people. Well, let's hear more poems and see where they come from.
Okay.
This is the poem. The poem. We're on location still, but we are from the Library of Congress.
Well, this poem is really, when I wrote, this poem is universal. It's about anyone who has had their life cut short in some magnitude. It could be a terminal illness. It could be, you know, due to gun violence. But this one I wrote when I thought about the enslaved. This poem is really, it came from that space, and it's entitled Shut. I clutch my chest for the ones who have left, for the ones who could not love without frustration, who could not kiss the sweet air with full lips, who were brought in without ever knowing war would come, without ever seeing the other sun. I tremble when I think of innocence imprisoned and love restricted, like vines that cradle and capture, hide and suffocate. The ones who have left will never carry freedom in their throat or see the other moon. Their tongues pinned to unbearable silence, the slow, rotting ache that disagreed with its scab, its life, where the clutching vine and field flowers have overgrown the ash of brown skins and the lovable mouths threaded shut.
That's quite a last line. Without ever seeing the other sun. Mm-hmm. Without ever seeing the other sun. I think you had to overcome a lot to feel that, to write that. That is not an easy poem to imagine. You have assembled other people to present and perform, and you call them the right blend. Is that a reason for that?
Because they are the right blend.
Is it W-R-I-T-E? Or
It is. It is W-R-I-T-E.
How and many are in it?
Well, each is six of us. And I handpicked five poets. In the area, I mean, in the DMV. And the reason why I did this, oh my goodness, it's a culturally diverse poetry ensemble. And these amazing six poets were everything that is needed for instance, in a performance. Each poet speaks to a different kind of audience. And I wanted something that, you know, we could have a diverse audience. I was noticing in a lot of readings, it's either one way or the other. And I was hoping with a poetry ensemble, we could certainly have a diverse audience. I love to see that, you know, and I wasn't seeing that. So that was the purpose of how this got started. I wanted to be in diverse circles. I think we learn from one another.
I think actually that we do have a replica of that. If people mm-hmm. will go to gracecavalieri.com, okay. message bar, look for the WRITE blend, you'll get to watch Diane and her peeps. And so before we have a final poem, we have to talk about your art, because everyone recognizes it as something which is unprecedented. And I think that you know what you have, what you do. So you've been on covers of books, you've been on blogs, you've represented Hunger X, I know, with your own illustrations. What makes you run? Where and when did you start this?
You mean the writing or the painting? The
painting.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a very easy and organic story. My husband and I, both military, when we had our children, at the time, I just didn't let anyone keep my children. So what I did, Grace, was I stayed home. And at the end of the day, you know, as most parents, you're a little worn out. You're a little tired. So at night, my way of releasing was through art. And I started, you know, drawing. And then I started sketching and painting. And the painting came last. It wasn't the first thing. It was definitely, and I'll tell you, I have to attribute, I had so many art pieces of artwork.
How many pieces do you think you have done?
Well, now, I can't even count the number I've done now.
100, 200?
Way more than that, Grace. I would say
500?
I would say close to 500 pieces mm-hmm. because I've been doing them over time since actually Sean is 28. So I would say for 25 years, I've been doing the artwork.
Well, when we have a showing, we will have our audience noted about this when they can see that. That's the only fair thing. We can't tease them this way, but we will make sure that our audience knows when you're going to be seen in a gallery. And with that, would we please have a final poem?
This poem is all about how I love poetry. It's a little bit long. I'll try to go as fast as I can.
No, but don't go so fast. We never, if you race with a clock, you will lose.
So it is entitled The Page, The Poem, and I. This poem does not have drawers. It does not keep my mother's tongue or my father's hope. It is not an abandoned home leaning in from the past. It is where I collapse onto the welcome mat of the page's altar. It is where I transcribe silence into language. Even these words, as thin as fish bones, I squeeze them out as an offering. I find my childhood summers here, yellow, with the sun's mouth wide open, and a lake of rivers gushing like two little girls. I collect bluestones in every season here. And when it rains too hard and the lake is overcome with death and apology, I twist into a butterfly to start over again. This poem does not have drawers. It does not keep my mother's voice or my father's dream. It enters the front door of a page into the bright wilderness of my mind, where I have spoken like a man, a voice of velvet baritone spinning. When I find my key, this pen, and walk into the page, this door, this home, the scripture of my soul dances. The sun rises. The church bell rings. God enters this place too. I have sinned here and have been baptized and rinsed in the murky waters of a poem I have loved and breathed inside its lungs to resurrect the life of a poem, a body leaning in like a root, a punctuation on paper, a branch with long fingers that hold the signatures of my past, a family tree of those who have gone and those we no longer see. Even now, I lay everything here, ink, my black blood stretched across the page. I lay the moons of my black skin here, my black thoughts too. I tilt into the spine of this page and pluck vibrant wildflowers and purple plums from the fields of a poem. I collect blue stones, my mother's song, my father's hum, the long-stemmed silence of their ashed blue breasts, and the sound of birds chirping where I find solace and home in the body of a poem.
Rinsed in the murky water of the poem, Diane Wilbon Parks. This is The Poet and the Poem. The program is produced by Forestwood Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MAT Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, the Rivada Foundation, Song in the Room Women, Natalie Canivore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin's our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.